reset, hit you with the crown topic of the day. It is going to be the Giants, obviously the benching of Daniel Jones, the naming of Tommy DeVito to be the starting quarterback, and then just listening to Brian Daboll over the course of the last 20 minutes or so. Now, I get why people want more. Like, you want to hear some answers from Daboll. That's just not how he is. And he's not going to give you the inside scoop as to how Jones reacted, what's the exact reason. And by the way, even if he did, some people wouldn't believe it or wouldn't like it or wouldn't think it's enough. So yeah. I don't have a problem with the way he... I did think he was cordial as opposed to...
Yeah, me too.
Dismissive.
No, he wasn't. Ornery. He wasn't.
Like, at this point, he better be at 2-8. He's got, you know, you'd be embarrassed. You can't go out there and be, you know, wave the hammer. You don't have the hammer right now, bro. You're lucky you have a job. So I thought he struck the proper tone, BT. Did we get any answers? Not really. And to me, ownership is the big key here. That's who we need to hear from. I want to hear from Mara.
Yeah.
I want him to answer the questions and find out what went into this, how he feels about benching Jones, why did Jones get the start so long, like what he thinks about DeVito, why this move. That's who I want to hear from, not Joe Shane or Brian Daboll.
Yeah, I mean, listen, let's just understand. Whenever he says, and he said it probably 7 or 8 times, hey, I understand the question, that's really code for let's sit down and have a couple of beers. I'll tell you how bad it is. Like, yeah. I can't speak. I know I want to, and I know that you're asking a question that you got to ask, but we are a train wreck right now, and I can't possibly stand up here in a combative, aggressive manner or be very transparent because I'm hanging by a string. I haven't won in a couple of years. So that's what he means.
So what we have to do is use common sense to dissect it. The idea that people would be up in arms, like, I just think it's the wrong path to take to look at Drew Lock. Oh, well, he's making $5 million. Oh, Shane's an idiot. How could he sign Drew Lock for $5 million and not play him? No. First of all, that's what backup quarterbacks get. Like, that's the going rate.
That Tyrod's making $6 million.
Yeah, so it might even be cheaper. So, like, you needed a backup quarterback. DeVito also may not have been ready to be a backup quarterback. And by the way, he still may not be ready to be a backup quarterback. There is an art to that where something goes wrong in a game, boom, you got to go with somebody who's got some experience. There's a difference between the backup quarterback and somebody who could be the future quarterback. And with DeVito, there's an unknown, which is why he was a third string, still learning behind the other two, wasn't going to see the field unless it was dire straits where both guys got hurt just like it was last year. But now, with the season being over, the official benching of Daniel Jones, there's no point to go with your backup quarterback. He's a backup for a reason. It was never bring him in so he could surpass Daniel Jones. He's the backup. Now, Tommy DeVito is going to get an opportunity to show what he can do. To your point, BT, you never know. Maybe he could be more than just a, you know, backup quarterback or third-string quarterback.
I could promise you this. I know he hasn't gotten worse in the last 8 months or so. Now, how much better has he got? I'm not sure, but that's why I'm intrigued. That's why I'm rooting for him, and I can't wait to watch him play. But he was very young. He was very raw. Probably wasn't really fully ready for the stage a year ago. But I thought his temperament was good. So if the other stuff is coming along here, and there's OTAs, and there's mandatory minicamp, and there's camp, and obviously he's a third stringer at that point, he's not getting a ton of reps here, but he's doing scout team stuff. He's in the building for another year, deeper in the playbook, more familiarity. It is possible that Tommy DeVito got a little bit better.
Correct. And remember, I remember this, and I don't remember the specific games, but we watched Tommy DeVito last year. I remember feeling like it was legit. It was not some magic show or, look, the kid got lucky. There were things that he did that I remember feeling were legitimate. Now, a year older, a year more experienced, he's got better weapons around him. Hey, we've seen this before. Like, and it can't just be, well, if he was any good, why didn't you have him as a backup? Well, the Mets had Mark Vientos down in the minor leagues. They went and signed J.D. Martinez.
Yeah.
Brought him up, sent him back down. So even the Mets themselves didn't evaluate properly what they had. Vientos looks like he's going to be a superstar. Maybe the Giants were trying to slowly bring him along. Maybe they also undersold what he could be a little bit. We don't know. That's what we're going to find out.
That's a good, I like the Vientos comparison. The other thing, too, is that I don't know if this is the case, but is there a small chance that Tommy... I'm not casting aspersions. I'm asking the question legitimately. Is there a chance that Tommy got a little bit too wrapped up in the marketing and the Giants? Because, man, he was on that run, you know, going to the pizza stores and doing the... And I don't begrudge him. Make the money.
As dopey agent.
Well, you know, hey, he's a Marist guy. Take it easy.
He's a Marist guy.
I get it. It got off the rails a little bit.
It's his job to make money, which is fine.
For sure. But maybe, and again, I don't know this, maybe in the eyes of the Giants, maybe he kind of... embrace, I don't mean partying, but just embrace that scene a little bit too much. And the focus from Tommy's perspective got a little bit away from football, and they needed to see him recalibrate. And maybe he did. I don't know.
I hope he did.
Yeah, I'm sure he's, listen, if he didn't, he wouldn't be starting.
Those things will come, you know, the appearances and the money, the endorsement, that will come if you play quarterback well in New York.
Yep.
I love the city by, he already had it in the palm of his, you know, Italian saluting hands a year ago.
That still bothers you. You don't like that emoji, right?
To me, last year I got bothered by it. Now I'm just excited because I want to be entertained.
Yeah.
I hope for him, forget about where he comes from, what ethnicity he is. I don't care about that. I want to see good football from the Giants quarterback position, which I haven't seen since Eli Manning left. And the spurts you saw from DeVito a year ago, that was it. And maybe at times with Daniel Jones, to be fair, over the course of his six-year career here, I want to see some entertainment and excitement. I think DeVito is going to provide that.
Thank God it's over. The endless run, seemingly endless run, the ride's over.
I couldn't do it anymore. I told you.
And we weren't. We just reacted because they changed quarter. We weren't talking about Jones.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get to your calls here. 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Jason is in Mount Kisco. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking the call. Really love the show.
Thanks for making it.
And, Sal, before my point about Tommy DeVito, one Italian guy to another, chase your dream. Go find a nice IROC from the 80s as a survivor. Hang the pepper from the mirror. Douse yourself in Hugo Boss, and let's call it a day, man.
There we go, Jason.
Nice.
So you guys were talking about what I called about with Tommy DeVito. He definitely did reasonably well last year, better than anybody's expectations. I wanted to ask you guys, in all sincerity, if there's some kind of Thanksgiving and Christmas miracle combined and he can rattle off five or six wins, is there any snowball chance that the Giants will give him the ball next year and say, go for it?
Jason, I brought this up before, and thanks for the call. And just for clarification, what cologne did he say? Because my thing,
Hugo Boss.
Oh, you could have said your car as well.
Remember the names. I never used.
You didn't have your car?
No.
Oh my God!
I don't even think if I had
your car. Your car noir, the black one with the everybody rocked your car. But I loved it. Anyway, I did bring this up, and it's an incredibly outside shot, but if you have a more polished, even better, significantly better version of DeVito in the last month and a half here, would it possibly embolden the Giants to bypass, you know, having to give up whatever it takes to go to one or two to get whomever they want? And I bring this up as the quarterback. I bring this up because, the quarterback class is not incredibly impressive. Doesn't mean that it's going to work out the way most of the people handicap it, because a lot of times it's the opposite. Trevor Lawrence, the Jets, you can't beat the Rams. Oh, they beat the Rams. They're not getting Trevor Lawrence. You missed out on a generational, once-in-a-lifetime quarterback. He stinks, and they stink. So,
yeah, and they hired a coach who won a Super Bowl.
That's true.
Paired Peterson. Him with the number one pick. Everybody said, tank for Trevor, can't miss.
So you don't know. But back to the question, like, is there an outside? Like, if DeVito plays really well, and I don't mean like all time well, but just good. You know, scores a couple of touchdowns, protects the football, has the leadership, he's got the energy, you know. And they don't love where they're drafting, and they happen to win a couple of games, and they don't have the appetite to give up whatever it takes to go get whatever they got to go on the one or two. Is there a chance that they kind of say, hey, you know, maybe we'll get somebody other than Drew Lock in here just in case, and we'll draft the best offensive lineman or the best shutdown corner? I don't think it's a big chance. I think it's a slight chance.
I say that where I would agree with you, you shouldn't be chasing. See, they screwed up a year ago, or you want to go back beyond that when they made the decision with Jones, fine. But last year, to me, was the definitive year they should have taken a quarterback. And now, the only reason why I might agree with you is because you said, you know, it's a thin QB class. So now you're going to reach for a quarterback in a thin QB draft?
I don't love that.
I wouldn't recommend doing that.
No, I don't love it.
If you didn't want to give all it would take to get Drake May, if you could even have gotten Drake May, you didn't want to take Penix or McCarthy or Bo Nix, looking like mistakes.
Yeah, they all look pretty good.
Like, at least you would have had that asset to figure out what it would be. Like, now, instead of talking about Tommy DeVito, we'd be talking about, well, here comes Michael Penix. Now it's the Penix show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whoever, Bo Nix, whatever it may be, and look what he's doing with Sean Payton in Denver. I mean, there were quarterbacks to be had. They screwed up by not taking one. I wouldn't then double down on the screw-up. Just like Woody Johnson. You should have fired Saleh going into the year. So you made one mistake there. You made a second mistake by firing him when you did. The Giants made one mistake by not taking a quarterback last year. Don't make the second mistake by forcing the issue this year if there's not one that you love there.
I agree. And I'm gonna let everybody in on a little secret with the Giants that is conveniently glossed over because the Daniel Jones energy kind of hijacks everything. The rest of the roster, it's not good.
Still better.
It's not that
good. It's still better than where it was, though. The offensive line's better. They have some defensive players. It's frustrating, but I don't.
I'm not saying it's expansion level, yeah. But I don't think it's very good. I really don't.
I really don't think they're. I hate to even use their terminology, and I sound like a homer, and I'm not. I couldn't. I mean, I want them to win, but like, really, I don't think they're that far off. They've been competitive in a lot of these games.
You know why, though, Sal? Because the Eagles are just a lot more talented than them. The Detroit Lions are. What do you say, far off from what? Wild card, division, top of the NFC? Well, I should clarify.
Not top of the NFC, not even top of the division, but wild card.
All right, I'm not going to push back too hard on that because I do think that that's a revolving door of circumstances, whether it's a soft schedule, whether it's an injury to another team. If they make a couple of tweaks this offseason, could the Giants be a wild card team next year? Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out, but without the proper upgrades, it's going to be one and done like it was in 2022. That's my greater point. There's nothing sustainable here yet.
Now, again, coulda, shoulda in today's NFL, whatever, but they could have beaten the Commanders twice, and one would argue they should have beaten the Commanders twice. Think about how that would change things in the landscape of not only the NFC East, but the entire league. Everybody's looking at Washington as this great team. They were fortunate to beat the Giants week two, which could have changed things. And even the last go-round versus them. Obviously, the
you
loss
have to schedule up, Sal.
I do.
Yeah. What was the score of the two wins?
21-15 at Cleveland. And then 29-20 over Seattle.
Okay. Yeah, that Seattle one was actually really impressive out there.
Seattle's proven not to be very good.
They beat the Niners yesterday on the road. Not that the Niners are great, but Seattle won that game in Santa Clara.
Yeah, lost to the... What's up with the Niners?
I don't know, but...
Lost to the Commanders 21-18 without the kicker.
Yep.
Lost to the Cowboys Thursday Night Football 2015. Lost to the Bengals, same thing, 17-7. You look at the Bengals, all the points they put up.
I know.
The loss to the Steelers, they just beat the Ravens yesterday. Like, the Steelers, we keep minimizing them.
Yeah, they always kind of suppress Lamar, 18. Though. That's not a surprise.
Like, they've been in all these games. The only game, the Eagles and the Vikings, were the two really bad games, and then obviously losing to the Panthers. Like, again, I'm not trying to make excuses, but they're a bounce away, a play away. And they shouldn't be resting on that. They shouldn't be. But we can say maybe it's not as bad as it may seem because of the competitive nature of the majority of their games.
I hear you. I'm closer to the other side than you are because I remember I referenced this and they didn't know the exact number, but it was when Shane's press conference, or he didn't know the exact number, when Joe did his press conference the other day, he talked about how it was through week 9. He didn't have week 10, but it was through week 9 where he referenced the stat where there's more one-possession games in the NFL more so than ever. So, okay, I get it. The Giants have lost a couple of tight ones here, but most of the losses outside of, like, the Lions, what they did yesterday, putting up 52, a lot of the losses around the league are tight.
Fair enough.
You know, and if you lose a lot of tight ones, to me, it's not that you're just missing out. It's just that you're not good.
Yeah, you're still losing. Exactly. Yeah. Look, they have to
especially
win.
When you stunk last year.
Starting Sunday, like, beat the Bucs. Now, I know fans don't want that, and that's now, again, the tricky spot where you want to see DeVito, you want to be excited, and the Giants, they themselves are going to want to win some games, but fans are going to be unhappy because it's going to be meaningless games, just like it was a year ago. That's going to cost you in the end as far as the tanking goes. BT and Sal on the Fan, more of your calls when we come back, 888-808-1019.
Yeah, I got to get to the Tyson fight. We watched that. I got a little something on the Johnnies. The Knicks couple of games over the weekend.
Soto made it. Yeah, we got a lot to get to here.
We always got time for Soto. You know that.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. We'll continue with your calls, 888-808-1019. A lot to get to before we hand it over to Evan and Tiki at 2.
Yeah, looking forward to getting some other things. We do have a lot to juggle here. I wanted to give a quick shout-out. So Saturday, we're really amazing. A couple hours over at MetLife, and as much as I get on the Jets and crush the Jets, they were involved in this, and I wanted to certainly send them a salute. And as important, the Soldiers to Sidelines nonprofit, right? Which is basically, it takes veterans and also active duty service members and helps them transition into the coaching ranks. Now, not just professionally, could be youth, could be high school, could be collegiately, and there's a lot of success stories here. And there were about 100 kids that were at MetLife for a good 2 hours, and they had, man, at least 12 to 15 coaches putting them through drills. And it just reinforced, I've always known this, I've never forgotten this, but they are just, they're special people, man. The way they operate, the respect that they generate from the kids, the way they carry themselves, the way they look you in the eye when you have a conversation with them. It was amazing for, you know, for my son and for all the other kids to go and see this, and for me to get a reminder.
All age groups?
What
or?
Matters. Yeah, I mean, it was primarily right. younger. There were a couple studs out there. It wasn't even based on talent.
Right.
It wasn't that kind of, it was just somehow, I won't bore you with how, I got an invite. Yep. And gracious enough to send it my way. And there's some other kids in town, but all over, not just our town. It was, I'd say 100 kids in total, and it was fantastic. So thank you to the Jets. Thank you to Soldiers, to Sidelines. If you guys want to support it, there's a ton of information out there online. I put some stuff on Instagram and some stuff on Facebook as well. It was just, it was awesome to see.
That's awesome.
It really was cool.
The young kids to be able to go there and set foot on, you know, MetLife Stadium and see the Jets colors. I saw your picture. That's awesome. Real quick, BT, before we get back to the phones here, 888-808-1019. It just dawned on me, like, how do you think, and I know this happens all the time, but, like, we heard Dable, right? We go to him live, and then he mentions the quarterback change. Meanwhile, we knew about that, what, 3 hours prior, roughly? So who is the one? Like, how does that get out? It Dable goes to, let's say, Jones first. Then he goes to, I'm sure, DeVito or Locke and let them know the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it starts even before that, like Shane and Mara and Dable have that conversation.
Yeah.
Then they have it with the quarterbacks. Like, then it starts to, I would assume, trickle through the building, and then those people reach out to the reporters and let it be known.
It could happen one of two ways. I don't think that Jones would do this. I mean, and again, I'm not saying for sure, but this is generally how it works. Like, usually the person who benefits, maybe their agent puts it out. So I don't even want to say Tommy Z. I don't want to cast a spur, but I'm not saying that. But, like, you know, if quarterback X gets promoted to the starting spot, he'll text his agent. Hey, man, listen, I got the green light. I'm starting this week, and now I'm going to be. Now, does the agent go out there and try to get a little traction for his client? I mean, that's generally what you do.
But don't you think the word going. Don't you think that that's a problem within? And it happens all over.
It happens all the time.
I know, but it could even be coming from Joe Shane.
Or
Dable. Hey, you know, we're going to make a change here.
Yeah, it could be. Not inconceivable.
It's just a weird dynamic to me, where somebody will get the scoop on the breaking news before Dable addresses the media. And it could be Dable, it could be Shane, it could be ownership, it could be the agents, it could be the player. Like,
yeah, there's so many
but
avenues,
it's just such a,
who knows?
To me, it feels like a dirty thing. Like, there are things that we hear about in our business that, you know, we would never let out there before.
We sit on a lot of stuff, actually.
It does happen. Yeah, right. It does happen on occasion, but if you ever found out who it is, like, yeah. I don't know. It's just a weird thing.
I don't disagree, because it strips away the authority, really, is what it does. It almost renders the coach insignificant in this equation when he's obviously in the middle of the conversation. And again, John Mara's influence to me is the most important thing moving forward, in addition to hoping that Tommy balls out. But yeah, I mean, it's always been a little sloppy in that regard.
BT, it's Al on the Fan. Dean is in New Jersey. What's up, Dean?
Brigantine. Hey, how you doing, guys?
Brigantine? There you go.
No, it's a hard G.
Brigantine. There you go. Brigantine, New Jersey.
He's still learning Jersey. He's a Long Island kid. We'll give him a little time, Dean.
Right outside Atlantic City. One coming off the marina. You come right over the bridge. Beautiful island.
I know it well.
That's down there. Do you really?
Oh, yeah. I used to go to AC all the time.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. What do you got for us, Dean?
I'm a North Jersey guy. I just wanted to talk about the Tommy thing. And listen, it's a great story, right? So we all know that. But it's more than a story. I mean, if you kind of think about it, you know, they brought Drew Lock in. Yeah, they needed to make sure they had at least a second quarterback in case the neck injury with Daniel Jones. And maybe they knew what they had in Lock being a backup, and you want to still try to develop Tommy, which, again, added excitement. But it's more than just the excitement. You're talking about a kid who's always handled himself professionally, even though with his interviews in college and everything else. But you're talking about a kid who also had a terrible offensive line. I had a chance to see some of the games live up there at Syracuse. Terrible offensive line. He had broken ribs. He had a broken ankle. Finally gets a shot to play Illinois. Again, did really, really well. And even besides all the intangibles, he did have a 90 quarterback rating, which, you know, again, for a guy playing as an undrafted free agent, his rookie year, trying to learn with a terrible offensive line, wide receivers who got zero separation, got a better offensive line here. Maybe not much better, but it is better.
No, but they're better. He's got a better running game, a better offensive line, and a better weapon in Malik Nabers to work with.
In Nabers, absolutely. And hopefully with Johnson to tight end and everything else. No, I get all that. So why not give him the opportunity? Oh, and by the way, let's look at the intangible piece, and nothing against Daniel Jones. I love Daniel Jones. But when Tracy fumbled, who was the first person on the sidelines next to him, consoling him. It was Tommy. I mean, they're intangibles. You can't really, you know.
Well, it's also because Tommy was on the bench. I'm not going to say that, though, Dean, and yeah. Thank you for the call. I mean, Tommy had nothing else to do, so he might as well be consoling somebody where everybody else, you know, maybe whatever it is that they're getting ready to do or just coming off the field doing. I'm not going to give him the intangibles for that, but his energy, his confidence, you know, what we talk about, the guts, mm-hmm. the intestinal fortitude, if yeah. you will, with Tommy DeVito, that's all there. We saw it a year ago, and that's something Daniel Jones just does not have.
You could take 50 of the best quarterback prospects in the country, and you can line them up, whether it's a high school camp, whether it's the NFL combine, and you can measure the throws and how big they are and all the other measurables. What'd you run the 40 in? What'd you do the shuttle in? How high could you jump? What's your velo when you let it rip in terms of throwing the ball? All that stuff's great, and all that stuff matters. But think about all the guys, specifically two recently with the Jets in Darnold and Wilson, who colossally failed, who both rated highly. Mm. Daniel Jones, who's big and is the prototype and could run and has a good arm as well in terms of a big arm, yeah. not in terms yeah. of placement, but he's got zip. He's failed. So what you can't quantify is generally the determining factor into who sticks around. And there is no test for that at the combine. That's the guts test. It's just not. He had a lot of adversity, and he has really not yet played with a lot of talent around him. So, listen,
I'm
excited.
With having some NFL experience under his belt a year ago.
The playbook, like, familiarity with the building, not having to. I mean, think about, like, we sat there last year. We enjoyed it. We got behind the cutlets and the emoji with the fingers and all that stuff, the Italian heritage. It was great. It was fun. But imagine being him. Like, imagine the pressure. Like, as he compartmentalized being the New York Giants starting quarterback. You know, and
who's
a young
the third
man
string, yeah.
who's the third stringer, right. and a young man from Cedar Grove who's living with mom and dad,
yeah.
you know, just regular people, which is great. So it's, you know, it was a lot to juggle. Now that he's kind of away from that, now we could just go to the building and be a pro. Not that those stories won't exist, because he is from here and we know about the Italian heritage and people will play that up and it's fine. But now he could just be a football player, and maybe version two, like version one was kind of intriguing. Maybe version two is just downright good.
Also, we should note, and see, a lot of people get away from this. You heard all the media talking with Dable, and you've heard people talk about this. Well, why wasn't this the backup quarterback? Well, if we're going to rip the Jets, let's say, for example, for setting up their young quarterbacks to fail, the Giants did right by Tommy DeVito not setting him up to fail. He was the third string last year who got into the game an emergency, extreme emergency, and played well, but obviously was still a young kid, not to mention the fact that he's undrafted. Then what do they do off of that? The experience that he had. You're still going to be the third stringer. You're going to watch and learn, not only from Daniel Jones, but from Drew Lock. Absorb everything in these quarterback rooms. Absorb everything that you see on the field and practice and all that stuff. And now they feel like, okay, we think he's ready for this opportunity. Let's see if he's going to sink or swim here. Like, it's also not just throwing him to the wolves before he might have been ready. Like, to be fair, Zach Wilson shouldn't have been the backup to Aaron Rodgers last year. He wasn't even ready.
Third string.
He should have been the third string. That was the Jets. Last year when Rodgers goes down, their whole thing blew up because it was supposed to be where you're bringing Zach Wilson along, learning underneath Rodgers.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe if he were, you know, undressed, whatever you want to say, the third string guy and have a real backup behind Rodgers, and it wouldn't have been as disastrous as it was for both the team and for the young quarterback. But it wasn't. So maybe the Giants did Tommy DeVito a favor by not having him be the backup and now feel like he's ready to get this opportunity.
Let's just say two quick hypotheticals. Let's say that Tommy DeVito started week one and Zach Wilson started week one. Jets and Giants have better records?
When, this year?
Yeah.
I don't think the Jets do. I do think the Giants do. The quarterback play is not the problem with the Jets. I know you don't want
to. It's not the answer, though.
Yeah.
I mean, well, Zach Wilson certainly wasn't the answer. I'm not saying
they had a better record last year, and I told you the winning percentage before we went over that. But
I saw that.
To me, this is not Aaron Rodgers. All right, we'll continue with your calls on the other side. We're getting into the Knicks and Nets. Knicks big weekend. We have the Tyson fight still we got to talk about, and also Soto. Oh, yeah, BT. Tommy's back. The Jersey Kids. I'm not even a Bon Jovi fan. This is him, right, Bon Jovi?
Yeah.
I mean, I like the song.
Johnny's to work on the docks. I like him. I don't love him. I like him. I don't love him.
Tommy used to work on the docks? Or Johnny?
Was it Johnny or Tommy?
I thought it was Tommy.
Maybe it was Tommy. Tommy? Let's yeah, listen. It is Tommy. My bad. I said Johnny? Yeah. Not so long ago. It's got to be Tommy. Hang on. Tommy! Yeah, Tommy. My bad.
Yeah, there you go. Let's the whole reason, I would hope. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We're going to work in the Tyson fight, the Soto stuff, and the Knicks stuff all next hour. One quick note before we get back to the calls here. I don't know if you saw this. Obviously, we talked about it last week with Paul Rosenberg saying what he said about Seinfeld, and then Seinfeld called in.
Yeah, of course, with C-Mac, yeah.
Did you see?
I did. What, you're talking about the exclusive in Us Weekly?
Yes!
Oh, my God.
What?
I saw it.
Hoff, did you see that? The exclusive in Us Weekly for Paul Rosenberg? WFAN host says it's not his cup of tea, Seinfeld. Rosie is on the air for like 3 minutes a week.
Uh-huh.
And I said, good for him.
Nah, it's got to be a little more than that when he jumps in, right?
Well, yeah, he bitches and moans for about 3 minutes a day on air somehow. Yeah,
sounds like someone's jealous back there.
Jealous. I just ignored the article.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous. Did you see? No, good for him.
I read it.
Making the most of it. Dude.
I saw it Saturday morning. Somebody sent it to me.
I don't think that that's ever been done in the history of this station before. A host, and Rosie's like a part-time host, but really he's a full-time producer.
Yeah.
To be in Us Weekly side by side with Jerry Seinfeld, a big pet. Where did he even get that picture from? Like Rosie's picture, it's a nice picture.
He's sitting behind the microphone.
Him behind the mic, yeah. He's got his hat on, he looks like a show host.
Yeah.
He's hosted maybe 5 shows in his life.
I honestly didn't even know that Us Weekly's still out. I remember there was a point where.
I used to love reading Us.
That's what I'm saying. Me too. I used to love all that stuff. You know, you'd see all the bikini shots and the scuttlebutt and who's
Jennifer Aniston dating this week.
Who's cheating on whom? Yeah, right. Who's breaking up with whom? What's going on? I mean, what was the last? I didn't even know they still made it or still published it, honestly.
Yeah, well, I hope it's in the magazine. For him, that'd be great. If not, he's just going to have to print out the stuff from the website.
No, that's a digital
insert. Yeah,
I don't think that makes the magazine.
I don't know.
This kid gets more opportunities than anybody else, though. He was on for the Carlos Correa news.
I remember, yeah.
He got Jerry Seinfeld to call in, and what has he been doing? Nothing but complaining behind the scenes.
That night,
that's why you don't hear about him.
Night he had me calling. No, he gets an opportunity.
See what I mean? What are you saying?
You're on the air. You do your show.
I do.
Well, Rosie, you know what?
He does his show, too, just behind the scenes.
And well, but you see those jabs he keeps getting in?
Hey, Rosie got the attention, man. It's what he said that got Seinfeld to call in, not C-Mac.
It's what
Rosie said that got Seinfeld to call in. And then Us Weekly calling to get an exclusive interview with Rosie.
I saw that.
What the hell's going on here?
The world's changing.
Not Boomer, not Gio, not Evan, not Tiki. Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
Us Weekly. I thought that was incredible. Good for him and great for the station.
That's good. That's not going to get one more listener. I mean, we you know, what? Somebody's going to see and say, I got to listen?
Maybe.
Come on, if you're from here and you're not listening.
They want to say, who's this Rosie guy?
Well, maybe nationwide to get more on the apps. That's true. If that does from a national perspective.
Not his cup of tea. Imagine that being.
He's not mine either.
That being your claim to fame.
I don't disagree. I'm actually more with him than not.
He said there were 3 good episodes.
Well, I mean, that seems a little hyperbolic there, but I do think it's overrated. I said that to you the day after when we talked about him calling it the C-Mac.
Come on.
Dude. I mean, it's called Seinfeld. He was the least funniest guy on the whole show.
Oh,
he was.
Geez, will you stop?
It's the truth.
Yeah, okay. I know. He was so terrible.
Come on, Jason Alexander. Although, you know those Jason Alexander commercials now?
Yeah, they play. I'm over it.
Yeah, please, enough with that.
BT.
Elaine, Kramer, honestly. Should we call the crew instead of Seinfeld?
Oh, will you stop it? It doesn't happen without Jerry. Bobby is on Long Island. What's up, Bobby?
Yeah, hi, guys. How are you?
Hey,
oh, what's up, Bobby? Been a long time. How are you?
Yeah, it's been a while. Before I get to Emperor Rogers, I just wanted to get your feelings on. Well, the Yankees match sold a $660 million offer from the Mets, and the Mets would go 70, and will the Mets go 70? The Mets have to go $75 million above. But I think it's $5 million per year for him to move from the Yankees to the Mets.
I don't know. Well, I think it's just basically the Yankees going to match. I don't know what the Mets tax will be. It's going to be a little something here. Now, I don't know if you saw this. And in fairness, you know, Mike Francesa did not present it as news necessarily. He said he heard, and a few others have heard this too, that there's a 12 or a 13 year offer believed to, again, a rumor. It's like intelligent speculation is the best way to put it. Not necessarily a report, But I don't think Mike's the only one who's heard this.
Did he say a little birdie told
him? He didn't say a little birdie.
And I don't know if I.
Well, but he got enough of a disclaimer. Mm-hmm. Listen, Mike's not a reckless.
No, he would never do that.
He's not. That's not Mike. That's never been Mike's style. So I believe there's maybe a grain of truth behind it. 12 or 13 years for $702 million. Listen, for Soto from the Mets, I said.
To start?
I don't know that. He didn't say. I said a week or two ago, if this thing goes up to 15 years, you can have him. If it goes to 14 years, you can have him. I'm open to 12 or 13. But let me tell you right now, if it's 12 or 13 at 702, you can still have him. That's ridiculous.
You know what I would
Juan
say to
Soto.
That?
Stop.
You know what I would say to that?
I'm desperate.
I'll take him. Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm not even desperate. 702. Fine.
That's ridiculous.
When do we sign? You save $50 million. I thought it was going to be 750.
Dude, 12.
Yankees aren't going to 700.
I would not want them to for 12 or 13 years. It's ridiculous.
Then enjoy Christian Walker
and Santander and maybe Crochet maybe Corbin Burns and enjoy getting back to the World Series again.
Yeah, enjoy those guys.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Without Soto, it was in front of Judge now.
Oh no,
Austin
no
Wells.
Way. Yeah. What do you got?
What?
Just Francesca. I just listened back. He said rumors are 12 to 13 years, 702. But I'm not sure if it's legitimate or not.
Okay, so
that's
why
I said he got a little separation.
Also saying, if Mike were to say a little birdie told me,
no, he
then
didn't
I'm
say
thinking
that. He did
that
not
as,
say that.
That's the precursor for the information.
A little birdie told Carlos Baerga 660.
Yeah, see, I'm not buying that. Are you buying what Baerga said?
He's put himself out there with a few things in the past. Am I buying it? No. Am I dispelling it? No. I'm just going. Listen, you know
where do you get that from?
Can I be honest with everybody? Yeah. I was thinking about this over the weekend, right? I was having a couple of drinks with my buddy.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Soto, and I've come to the conclusion. I don't know what the hell's going to happen. I really don't, man. I don't know what he fully thinks about the Yankees or the Mets. Will the Dodgers jump in? How desperate's Toronto? I have no clue if it's 12 years, 13 years, 15 years, deferrals, opt-outs after no idea. And I'm basically done guessing. We will now. Not that I don't want to talk about it. Yeah. I think it's very interesting. And what would the Yankees be without him? And if they do get him, what do they do? What would the Mets be with him? If they don't get him, what's the pivot? How to compete? What else? That's all interesting stuff, and I love that conversation. I have no idea.
Well, let me ask you those two questions. Do you think Juan Soto is going to take the most money?
I've always said for the most part, unless, yes with a little asterisk. And the only asterisk is this. Like, if the Yankees are in the neighborhood of the Mets, meaning within 20 or 30 mil, maybe 40, and that's the Mets tax that I've referenced a lot. Then I think that could happen. Right. I won't say that it definitely would. I think Toronto would have to blow them out of the water. I think the Red Sox would have to blow. Like, if there's anybody that's going to be able to get him to go somewhere for less than the Mets, it's the Yankees.
Right, okay. But it's an easy, fair question to ask. Like, we don't know how much it's going to be per year. The deferrals, all the stuff you said, how many years. But do you think he's going to take the most money?
Again, with that little asterisk, but yes, pertaining to everybody else and pertaining to the Yankees to an extent, yes.
Understood. Who do you think is going to offer him the most money?
Well, it's probably going to be you guys. I do think that you underrate Toronto.
Oh, understood. No, but
Toronto is basically as wealthy as Cohen.
So are you on the record as saying, like, you could give
I don't think he's going to Toronto.
No, but do you think they're going to offer the most money? If you had to guess who was going to offer the most money, what would you say?
The initial first offer?
I just think there's a
difference. Well, final offer.
Just a guess. I'm not going to hold you to it.
No, I got you. Listen, I think Toronto is going to be incredibly competitive with the Mets, and I'm not trying to be evasive. Like, it's not a non-answer. Like, if the Mets, let's just go with 702. If the Mets offer 702, do I think Toronto's 7? I absolutely do. Maybe more. Maybe creatively based on the strength of their dollar and the tax implications. I think Toronto is going to offer more than the Yankees.
Okay. Well, I think a lot of teams might be able to offer more than the Yankees, or meaning multiple teams.
Well, who else?
I don't think who knows what Boston, who knows who else is going to get involved if there's a mystery team. I don't think the Yankees are going to have the highest offer. But I do think Soto is going to take the highest offer, and I believe Soto is going to he's going to take the highest offer, and I believe he's going to get that offer from the Mets, which has led me to be saying for over a year, I think he's going to the Mets. There's reason to it. Now, do I know how much he's going to get, how many years? I have no idea. Do I know what he's thinking? No, but I'm using some common sense based on the way that he and Boris have operated for years and knowing where the Mets are at with their owner, with their financial flexibility. To me, it adds up to the Mets having, they want the player. To me, it adds up to the Mets having the highest offer. And if Soto does what I think he's going to do, take the highest offer, that's how I have him with the Mets.
You've been consistent with that. I respect it. Let me just throw one little wrinkle in here. Like, it's not going to be the Yankees. I don't think that in terms of the biggest offer. I don't think the Dodgers jump in here. Yeah, there's always that wild card. All right, fantastic, great. Okay, yeah, I'm really exciting, amazing. Mm-hmm. He's going Yankees or Mets or Toronto. And we'll keep the Red Sox on the list as well. I do think, though, that there is a chance. I'm going to put the Yankees aside for a second because I do think Cohen's offer will be the best. Maybe until the last second. It would not surprise me if Toronto comes in with an offer that's $100 million more than the Mets. And the old, and your confidence in the Mets coming high, and you should be. And if that does happen, there's a good chance you get him. I think that that's sound logic. I really do. The one difference between Toronto and the Mets is that I believe at the if it gets too reckless, I think Stearns will say, boss, there's other ways to build this, and here's how. Whereas with Toronto, I think that they are all in, and they're not going to there's no general manager who's going to say, this is not the prudent thing to do. That could happen with Stearns. I'm telling you, there's a chance Toronto goes bonkers and flies past the Mets offer.
Well, then I would be proven incorrect on two fronts. But I'm saying that I believe the Mets are going to have the highest offer, and he's going to take the highest offer.
Okay. Okay, so one more layer to that, and I'll just use a whole number. Let's say the Mets offer the 702 that's out there, and the Yankees offer 670. Where do you think he's going?
I think he's taking the highest offer.
See, at that point,
because I also think the Yankees probably have some deferrals in there. Like, they can maybe get creative with their 670.
I mean, maybe. I mean, Steve knows more about money than anybody. Yeah. So, I mean, if anybody's going to get creative, maybe it's him.
But he doesn't
have to. In addition to the hammer with the big check. Understood. I think if the disparity was that, relatively speaking, insignificant Met offer versus Yankees, at that point, I think he'd stay with the Yankees.
I think he'd have a better chance going to Toronto for more money than staying with the Yankees for less.